live in Lansing every afternoon with Cheryl Fritz. This is Fritz and Friends on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And welcome back, everyone, to Fritz and Friends on this Monday evening. 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. I'm Cheryl Fritz here along with Mark Price producing for me this evening. Going out to our next guest, Bob Pratt, who is the East Lansing Fire Marshal. Good evening, sir.
Good morning, or good evening, sorry.
Has it been that long a day?
It's been a long day.
There you go, and it's a Monday, no less. The subject I wanted to talk to you about, Bob, comes from the recent news articles on Lake Lansing, the reports of a couple of people falling through the ice, and that, I guess, is still a bit of a mystery, and hopefully nobody actually did, and there was a mistake made, but that got me wondering about ice safety and so forth, and there was an article in the State Journal, and you were quoted in the article, and I wanted to talk to you about ice safety. And one of the things, I guess, that's poked out at me in the article, Bob, is that you said there's really, you should never consider any ice safe. Maybe we'll start at that point.
Well, ice, no matter what the thickness, can be dangerous. And it's kind of a misnomer to think that, well, you know, 2 to 4 inches of ice a person can walk on, or 4 to 6 inches of ice someone can snowmobile on or can ice fish on. Because if the ice is really poorly made, and that, for example, if we, like this year, we had a little cold snap and then we got quite a bit of snow, that can cause the ice to form in not so solid a fashion. And then, of course, we had the warm-up. And in the springtime, when the ice starts to degrade, you can have 4 or 6 inches of ice, and it's really crumbly ice, and it's kind of like dry rot in wood, where it's thick, but it doesn't even support the weight of a person. So it's really difficult to tell simply by thickness how solid the ice is.
So our warm up that we've had now, it's bitterly cold again. People may think, it's been a high of 8 degrees today. I'm sure it's great, and that may not be the case at all.
Well, the ice has certainly reformed since it's gotten cold, and is much safer than it was a week ago. So you need to use some general guidelines, and the best thing to do would be to check with like local bait shops, because they have people coming in all the time who have been out on the ice fishing, and the people who are ice fishing on an almost daily basis are really a great expert to ask about how thick the ice is and how safe the ice is.
That was going to be my next question to you, is where on earth would I go or call to find out about the conditions? So check in with the local bait shop before you head out.
That's a good source of information.
I know you're talking, of course, about ice fishing, but also folks who want to skate. I mean, I can see someone playing pond hockey or wanting to ice skate. All the same rules apply.
They certainly do.
And what kind of gear do you recommend taking with you out on the ice for any of these activities?
Well, there's been some recent improvements with life jackets, and most people think, oh my goodness, are you serious? I'm going to wear a life jacket? And they think of the old orange, big Mae West-type life jackets. But they make inflatable life jackets now that are very small, very compact and tight to the body, and would save you just like if it were in the summertime if you happen to fall through. A couple other things, make sure that you take a friend. So you should never be out on the ice by yourself in case that you do fall in. Someone knows that you're there and can either assist you or can call 911 and let the experts do that. A couple other things, if you're going to be on the ice for a regular basis, you can make ice picks out of, for example, if you're playing pond hockey, an old hockey stick, if you still have one made of wood, just cut about a 6-inch piece of the handle and put a screw in it, and then file the screw down to a point, so that if you do fall through the ice, you have something that you can pick into the ice and use to pull yourself out.
My next question to you was just that, about pulling yourself out. What if you fall through and you haven't listened to you and you don't have a friend with you? What are the kinds of things you do at that moment in time to try to help have the best possible outcome if you've fallen through a hole in the ice?
If you fall into any kind of cold water, whether it be through the ice or off a dock into extremely cold water, we like to tell people that they need to remember 1-10-1. And the first one is you have about a minute to get your breathing under control. You can imagine what it would be like to fall through the ice into, 35, 37 degree water. It would just take your breath away. So for the first minute, just concentrate on trying to get your breathing under control. Don't panic. Just allow your body to react to that cold water. Get your breathing under control. Then you have about 10 minutes of purposeful movement. So you have about 10 minutes that you're able to help yourself to get out of the ice. After that, you have about an hour before a hypothermia will set in, and you start to lose consciousness and potentially die. Now, if you fall through the ice, you want to try and turn around toward the area you came from, because you know that ice is safe ice. So if you're going to try and get out of the hole, try and get out that way after you've gotten your breathing under control. After 4, 5, 6 minutes of attempting to get yourself out, you're going to start to lose the ability to even hang on to anything or to assist yourself. So get to the shelf of the ice and hang on and wait for rescuers to get there.
Now, the flip side of this is, what if you see someone fall through the ice? I assume you don't want to run out towards them, which might be your natural reaction.
Right. You need to really avoid that temptation to rush right out there. Because obviously the ice isn't safe, or they wouldn't have fallen through. So the first thing is, get the experts on the way. Call 911. All the fire departments in the area are well-trained in ice rescue. And we usually call for the dive team immediately, just in case, you know, the worst-case scenario is that the person submerges. And get those people rolling. Even if you think that the person is probably going to get themselves out, in an ice rescue situation, every second counts. So make that call early. If you can preach to the person, if you can, you know, we used to use the old reach, throw, row. Now we want to add in front of that, we want to preach to that. So if you can preach to the person to try and get yourself out, you know, reach up, grab onto the ice, and if they are able to get out onto the ice, to roll so that it disperses their weight a little bit, and then reach something out to the person. If there's a ladder, or if you have a long tree branch or something like that, that you might be able to reach out to them. And then throw them something from a safe distance. If you have a rope, if you have a extension cord or something that you can extend your reach out to someone by throwing it to them, you can try to do that. If they're within that 10 minutes, they may be able to hang on to the rope and pull themselves out. As we near that 10-minute mark, they probably wouldn't be able to hang on to it. You might have them wrap it around their hand, for example, to get a bite on it so that they could be pulled out.
Very good. Now, when this happens, of course, it's quite traumatic and dramatic. We got about a minute left. Does this happen very often in the area?
Not really in the area. We've had situations in the past where we've had to go out on the ice, either on the rivers or on the lakes, but it's not a frequent occurrence by any means.
Well, very good. I think we've given people some very good tips this evening to try to help them out of a bad situation. And I think the first thing, you know, is wear a life vest. I mean, gosh, start with the precaution that'll keep you afloat in the meantime.
Right.
Very good. Well, I appreciate your help tonight. We've been speaking with Bob Pratt, who's East Lansing Fire Marshal. Thank you, sir, for helping us with this information.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
Again, Bob Pratt with he is the East Lansing Fire Marshal, giving us some great tips on water safety, and we certainly hope the mystery gets solved out at Lake Lansing as well. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after these messages.